As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Scooter Magooter. What's up, dude?
Feeling a lot better this week. We actually had some audio issues here because we had to readjust for me not having a voice last week. But guess what, fuckers? Voice is back.
He's back.
Ready to roll.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You know?
Just in time, too, because you know, we're going to talk about a little bit of Martha's Vineyard today. By a little bit, I mean the entire episode is dedicated to Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
And this is a show that I am starting to, every week, get excited to watch. And it's on a Sunday night. There's no football. So, you know, I'm ready to roll. I'm still going to watch it on Peacock the next day because I can't tolerate commercials, but I'm ready to do it.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying it. That's funny you said that. That's a good way to put it because I am also looking forward to it each week. Like, it's a really good show, and I know I feel like we have to sell it at the beginning of every episode that we do for Martha's Vineyard, but until you guys start watching it more, we're going to keep saying this in the beginning because it's a really good show. It's well done. The characters are very likable for the most part. I'm having a couple of issues with a couple people this week, but that's what you want, right?
Whom?
That's a good show. You'll wait and see. We'll get into the episode. We'll talk about it. But it's really good TV. Noelle, the newbie, is fucking awesome. She's a great addition to the show. Really enjoying her. So all in all, it's just a fun show. And last week we had a discussion about the setup because you were under the impression that they came in every weekend, similar to Summer House. But since Martha's Vineyard is out, like, on the island, it's hard to get there. This is a 2 week straight.
Yeah, vacation. I know that I fucked up last week and I said that I thought they were coming back and forth. And then when they showed day two of 15, obviously I immediately knew I was incorrect.
Right.
And I remembered that last year it was the same thing. So that's on me. Hand up. That's on me.
Your hand's not up.
God damn it. Hand up. If you don't, well, I guess you don't know because that was pre-show. We have been flipping out because we moved all of our equipment because we had to go to Steele's parents last week. We moved it back in. Everything seems slightly out of place. I thought Steele was going to kick the absolute shit out of his laptop and everything else, and then we were just going to call it a day.
That's the best way to put it. Everything is slightly off kilter, yeah. And it's driving me crazy. Not to mention, this fucking weather, dude, has me straight up depressed. Like, I cannot stand. I cannot wake up one more day and walk outside and see gray rain. It's driving me nuts. And then we had a day yesterday where I went to the Phillies game. We got the win. It was a great game. Had a lot of fun. Me and Dev had a blast. Sunny, 61 degrees. A little windy, but that's okay. Wake up today, fucking raining and gray. So it's almost worse because it was almost like a glimpse, like a little glimmer of light through the shit that this whole month has been. And I'm like, fuck yeah, we're almost through it. No, 5 more days of rain. Thank God I'm going to Italy next week because I might run headfirst into a tree.
That's the thing that I don't understand because, yeah, it's raining today and it's gray and everything. But, like, Friday was nice. I walked over and shout out in Fishtown. You can go to Other Half Brewing. I walked over there. It was a lovely little park.
Free plug.
Lovely little park. Hung out there. Had a few beers outside. Saturday was pretty nice. It rained a tiny bit.
Saturday was not nice.
I walked around the city. It was fine.
Sick, bro.
Maybe I was
cool. Drunk. Yeah. See, that's the difference. I can enjoy.
Maybe you need to drink again.
Well, people are going to be so pissed about that comment. But understand that I know he's kidding. And this is an ongoing bit.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal. Everyone's settled down. Yeah. Grow up. But look, let me bring it down. Let me simmer down a little bit. I'm a hot little potato today. Plus, it's April Fool's, which is the dumbest fucking day in the world. I already did my rant
on
that.
You're making a big deal about that today.
I was.
I get, like, you throw the story up there, but to make it a post, it's like, we get it.
No, I needed people. Understand. I needed it to sit there forever. Because I need, like, I don't get it. And we're going to get to the show in a second. Don't you worry. We're getting there. But I don't get it. And especially because every single account on Instagram does the same thing. Whoa, what's something funny we can post? And then they post it. And it's like, well, it's not true. Then there's that whole tizzy where some people are like, it is true. And then you have this stupid argument. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's April 1st. Got me. It's like, you didn't. Like, when it's a universal joke, it's not funny.
Do you do the I you probably don't. I mean, this is probably like office coded, but the New York Times does something called Connections, and they do like little word games that you can play in the mornings. Like,
oh, I mean, I used to do crosswords when I played baseball. I would do the whole puzzle section.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like online, you can do that, and that's where, you know, like Wordle and like all those things, whatever. So today they do something called Connections, and it's just like all different words, and you have to pick like the four categories. You pick like four for each or three for each or whatever. They opened it today, and it was just all emojis, and it threw everybody off, and it was for April Fool's Day. But it was like slightly easier, so people weren't that pissed off about it. But every little thing changes, and it gets to the point where I forget that it's April Fool's Day, and I'm reading something.
That's my point.
I sent you something 2 hours ago that I haven't actually told you about now. They were going to make a Zelda movie with Studio Ghibli, which would have been sick. It's April Fool's.
That's my point. That's not fucking funny.
It's not funny.
At all.
I'm furious about that because that would be incredible. And now that I think about it, yeah, Studio Ghibli would never do that. So that doesn't make any sense, but I got excited about it and now I'm pissed.
Yeah, but that's a great example because that's not funny.
Like, did you see the Eagles account that was like, we're trading Devontae Smith to the Cowboys for a third round pick?
But they just traded Hassan Reddick, so maybe let's not make those jokes. Yeah. Maybe let's not make
those
jokes.
That's why I love Philadelphia sports, though, how we waited until opening day to trade.
To drop that. Yeah, it was like a Friday,
always
news,
do that.
Friday news dump.
Yep.
Look, we haven't sat down with each other in a while, so we got to debrief a lot of things, all right? So all of you that get mad that we have a preamble, this is
important. We don't really do the preamble
us.
Anymore, so just deal with it. If we're going to do it, April Fool's, guys, we'll do a little preamble.
Full circle. We always got to keep it full circle.
Yep.
But look, I'll be fine. As I said, next week I'm going to Italy. My wife and I are finally celebrating our honeymoon because after the wedding, things were too crazy to go anywhere. So we are headed out to Italy. So we're going to have our normal episodes for you this week. Next week's going to be a little bit different. We are going to still have four episodes for you, but since Vanderpump Villa is premiering, we have three episodes of that to recap. So next week will be three of those, a Summer House and a Martha's Vineyard. Is that right?
No. Martha's Vineyard airs on Sunday night. So I will be in the air.
So we got a Summer House and three villas next week.
Correct.
So that will be our week next week. We will have regularly scheduled programming the following week. We'll probably do some makeup episodes here and there just to kind of get us back on track. But just so you know what to expect moving forward. And for anyone that gets upset that we're not covering the normal stuff, just be happy for me and my wife that we get to go on our honeymoon finally.
Yeah. Just be happy for once.
Just be happy.
Everyone, unlike us.
Yeah. Miserable today. Fucks over here. And look out the window. It's goddamn gray. Let's get into the fucking show. But that takes us to Martha's Vineyard, which, like we said in the beginning, it's a really, really solid show, and I'm really enjoying this season. The cast overall is very likable. There's, like I said, there's a couple of people starting to wear a little bit thin. Mainly Summer is starting to get on my nerves, and Nick, weirdly enough, and I think I forgot that Nick had a little bit of the same behavior last year, and then Tasia, his girlfriend, came to the house, and people tried to call him out. I forgot this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tasia defended Nick.
Yes.
Remember that? So I forgot about all of that, but overall, what I enjoy most about this show is that everyone brings their own unique flavor to this house. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone has their own individuality, and they come together in this group, and they get along very well together. Even when shit's not going great between people, they're able to still have fun.
Yeah, and I think that's the huge thing when it comes to this show. I'm not even breaking it down to an individual, like, do I like this character or not type of situation. I'm just loving the fact that they're all enjoying their time together.
Yeah.
And it's a very easy watch, and it's not convoluted because, look, they're there to have fun for 2 weeks, and that's exactly what they're doing. Some people are going and getting mad at certain other people, and they're going to go split off and do their own thing and have little side-by-side conversations. That's fine. But what's the rest of the crew doing? Partying.
Having
a good time. That's all we really want. That's all we really wanted from Summer House, and we're sort of getting back from that and Summer House OG. But now we get to see this. This is their second season. They could have gone so many different directions with this. They could have really leaned into it. They could have been very cognizant of all the cameras everywhere, trying to build their own individual brand. We're not getting any of that. It's just
interesting
people just living together, vibing together, or not vibing together, and you get to see all of it. So it's great.
I agree with you to a certain extent.
Oh, I do have one complaint.
Who?
The truth booth?
They're not using it enough.
They are using it, but it's not at the right time.
No, it's like one-liners.
It's a quick confessional the next day. They're in completely different outfits. I want them drunken in the truth booth. Get in the truth booth and start yelling about some random shit that's going on. Like, Shanice, instead of going upstairs and crying, go to the truth booth. Then get it all off your chest.
Firmly agree. The truth booth is not being utilized the correct way. Yep. We need knee-jerk reactions. We don't need the next day when they've had time to sit there and think about what they want to say. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I slightly disagree that people don't have agendas as far as like them pushing certain narratives. It's not everybody. I think the vast majority of the house is just there to vibe.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode specifically, I saw one person trying to put up a little bit of a front that we'll get to.
Okay.
And I think that Summer is trying to now steer a narrative that she started in the first episode. So let's dive in so we can discuss these things. But we start out, and I want to start with this because it's important later. We see Nick grabbing Summer's arm in the car, okay? We've seen some stuff before, and we get a flash over to, like, him taking pictures from episode one, and I forgot about this moment. The way that he's holding Jordan and Summer when he's taking that picture, and they keep moving his hands. It's like, meh. It's not great.
No.
And as they address it later, it's not fully sleazeball. It's not like, holy shit, this guy's gross. It's just like, it's too much.
Right.
It's a little too much.
It's too much for a friend. You can even drop the fact that he has a girlfriend, because that's their issue. If he's going to do that to his girlfriend, if his girlfriend's going to see that in a different light, that's up to them entirely. But as a friend with girls, you just don't do that.
No.
It's weird.
It is weird.
So, yeah, weird. No, I fully understand that. I feel like the term handsy, too, implies that it's, you know, sexual or overbearing and gross and gropey. Yeah. And it's not even that. It's just, it's slightly over a line, and it's just kind of creepy and weird.
It's handsy.
It's like, stop touching me. You know what? Like, people have friends like that where they come over and they have to put their arm around you.
Yeah, don't touch
me. They have to, like, have their hand on your lower back while they're talking. It's like, stop touching me.
Or, like, close talkers.
Oh, yeah. That's probably the best way to do it. It's a close talker, but instead it's my hands on you.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Your hand off me.
I agree. I get uncomfortable when people, like, the lower back one is bizarre to me. Or, like, when they come up close to you and they put their hand, like, on the bottom of your neck. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, I'll do it to you later. You'll not. No.
Who's touching your lower neck?
It's a very specific. When I do it, when I show you, I'll be like, oh, that. People are going to think it's gross what I'm saying. It's not. It's like, it's almost like putting their arm around you, but they don't go all the way around you. They just put it like in the center
here?
Of your... Yeah. Right there in the... Like in between your shoulder blades.
Yeah, that's not what... Yeah, okay.
Maybe I said it weird.
That's not what you said.
I said it weird.
Yeah. I was like... It was thumb and finger on the bottom of my neck. I'm like, who's doing that to you?
Yeah. No. Whoa. That's, not that.
That's a little sensual.
No. Hey, don't...
Are they massaging while they're doing that?
No.
A little squeeze?
Look, it's... No, I said it wrong. It's...
Okay. I'm just wondering.
It's hand in the middle of, like, the shoulder blades. I don't like that. But anyway.
Spinning a narrative here? What's going on?
What happened?
I don't know.
Back to the show. But we get a quick check-in with Bria and Summer, and we find out that Simon's coming soon. I love Simon. Not necessarily because I think he's the best dude in the world.
Yeah.
He is great TV. This man is unhinged. And, like... Like I said, that comparison to Elon Musk, like, I imagine that's how he parties. Like, he gets there, he's in his jeans in the hot tub, drinking champagne straight from the bottle. He's like, I'm just here to have fun, guys. Like, I fucking love Simon, so I'm excited for him to get back. But they start talking about Jasmine, and I think that we can surmise that she is actually pregnant this summer.
Yes.
Like, she's not drinking, we know that she's pregnant now, and they make that one line about Silas where it's like, this is what enlisted men do, knock them up and go overseas, but... I think we all can agree that she is pregnant right now, but I'm curious if that will come out at some point. But moving on, we get Preston and Amir, and we know that last episode, Preston's father's funeral was that day. And Amir is good about this stuff. He does check in with people. He's a very emotionally intelligent person.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah,
is that what he is? Or that's what we'll call him?
Emotionally in tune, yeah.
He's an emotional guy. So he checks in with Preston to make sure that he's good. And he says, you know, my first reaction was sad, but the more we find out about this relationship, the tougher it is, I think, because he's like, you know, most of my life he wasn't there. And then when he rekindled this relationship between the two of us, it was still contentious and difficult, mainly because certain things, like, you know, when he told his dad he's gay, his dad's like, well, I didn't raise you to be gay. And Preston's like, you didn't raise me, period, guy. So, like, you don't really have a say in the matter, not that you would anyway. But finally, I like that we get this background on people early. Like, I feel like for a lot of these shows, it's like season 4, season 5. Then we finally get to dive into, like, their background and their childhood and things that have been difficult for them. but I feel like you get a really good connection with characters on these shows when you find out more about them earlier on.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot to do with somebody like Amir actually asking the question.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, obviously, you know, the timing of his dad's death and everything comes into play. Maybe we wouldn't have known about all of that. We wouldn't have known about his childhood if his dad didn't pass away right when the show started filming. Things like that obviously pop up, but it's important to have people in the show like Amir who are going to have that one-on-one conversation and see how you are, because you're going to get to open up, you're going to have more information, and you're going to share that with the audience. And I want Preston to do that more because I like Preston a lot. I think Preston's great. One, he's great TV. Two, he's also not afraid to share whatever's on his mind, which is exactly what we need.
100%. And he keeps it real every time he talks too, which I appreciate. Did I tell the story that he messaged? I did.
Yeah, you told that last week. Yeah.
I think he might come on the show at some point. Let's not get too excited.
Yeah.
I don't want to lock it in before it's locked in, but he said that he would, so hopefully we can get him on here soon. But the next scene, we get Nick with the dudes. And the dudes are in, I'm going to call it the dude cave. So they're down in the dude cave chit-chatting about summer. And now, I had an opinion on it the first episode that maybe Nick led her a certain way or maybe overindulged on like some promises. I don't think that's what happened at all.
I'm still in the thinking that I think he led it a little bit.
Maybe
just based, because
they
do the side-by-side conversation where Summer, I think Summer was talking to Jordan about it, and they were talking about just sex in general or whatever, and it's a little bit later in the episode, but the way that Summer went about it, she said, yeah, you know, like she kind of withheld the information about the actual sex, but she said he's a really great kisser and he's a great cuddler. And I could, and everyone's like, oh yeah, I can see him being a good cuddler because he's so in touch with his emotions, whatever. So I can see him doing all of those things. And we did know from last year, Summer views it like, I'm going to have sex with somebody that I love. Yep. So I think Alex knew that. Alex knows all of that. So okay. I think he still played the game a little bit to try to, and he even said it, to try to get into her pants. And like, maybe I was thinking with the wrong head, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That typical joke. I think that, I don't know, because Summer's obviously going against everything that she said in the first episode now.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say, but I mean, I could see Alex playing the quote-unquote boyfriend role, trying to schmooze himself in there and then, you know, kind of losing interest after he realizes it, but
I could too, and I'm not saying that he's not blameless here, because I'm sure there was some of that, but when he starts talking about some of the red flags as to why he got turned off from this potential relationship, because in his words, he's like, you know, I was going to see where it went after we left the house. Do I believe that, or was he just trying to get lucky? I don't really know. But for example, the picture.
That's pretty fucking stupid.
You think it's stupid for Alex?
I think, yeah, dude. They stayed in the same house last year. Like, they're friends, they're traveling together. Jordan and Summer are really close. If you're a girl and you fly to LA to go hang out with another guy you're talking to your best friend,
okay,
you snap a picture and send it over. I think he's freaking out about that because he's such a private dude. And he's private because he wants to hook up with as many girls as possible.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. I looked at it wrong.
No.
You're correct. So he just got, yeah, he got outed pretty much.
That's not a flag. That's just girls talking.
Yeah. You got outed and then now you're like, whoa, 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 too fast.
Yeah,
too fast.
Yeah. How dare you share a picture of me without my consent? Like, what are you talking?
That's a good
point.
What
were you doing? Sniffing flowers? Like, that's what it looks. Every time they show that picture, I'm like, what the fuck is he actually doing? I think he's sniffing flowers.
That's definitely what he's doing because he's in touch with himself.
Yeah.
Man. You're right. You're right. I looked at it wrong. Good call. But Nick speaks up, and there's a theme here, and it will continue throughout this episode and likely throughout this season, but he's like, you got a rebeat. And I was like, what the fuck is a rebeat?
Is a funny term.
Rebeat's a very funny term. Yeah. He's like, but you got a rebeat. And he's like, what's a rebeat? And he explains. He goes, oh, you beat it up once. Well, you got to go back and rebeat. So it's beat it up again. I was like, that's a very funny term. But Amir questions it. And I was like, yeah, that's a valid question. He's like, why? Like, why are you so
invested in that?
Yeah, and they talk about it later. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but all signs are pointing to a guy that doesn't really want to be in a relationship. That's what I get from Nick.
Yeah, or he's, I don't know. Nick seems to be the type of guy that, you know, when he's home and he's with Tasia, he's fine, but now he's with all the boys and he's putting on this like, oh yeah, I'm going to live vicariously through you single guys out here. And
but he's not. It's not vicarious. He's living. He's living it.
He's living it. Yeah.
He's doing it too.
He's
so that's
doing
my point.
The hands, yeah, of course. But
the hands and like the eyes. I literally wrote down like when they're all twerking and dancing in the living room later.
That was hilarious. I mean, what are you gonna do if you're sitting there and there's three girls on either side of you twerking?
That's the thing.
You get up and leave, maybe, but like
you would remove yourself from the
situation.
If you're
just shocked, like his face when he's looking around.
I wrote down
was so goddamn funny.
It looks like a guy going to a strip club for the first time because he's just ear to ear. Smiling, staring at all of their asses one by one. He's like, it's like a kid in a candy store. He's like, ass, ass, ass. It's like, Nick, Tasia's gonna see this guy. Like, yeah. You cannot sit there with a shit-eaten grin staring at a girl's ass inches from your face.
Yeah, you can get up and walk to the other side of the room. You still want to watch, sure, go ahead and you know do that on your
know.
Own. I don't know what you're doing, but
that you did not do it right. But the way that he's trying to voice it is though that he's not doing some weird shit. But I also have to call out Amir's girlfriend because every single time that this man references her in regards to any other woman, not saying that he would hook up with any other woman, just if another woman's involved, his first response every single time, Natalie would cut my dick off.
Yep.
That's a red flag.
Did you say that last week that you're like, this is going to get really tired really quick? He's going to bring up his girlfriend all the time? Yeah. He does. I mean, he takes it a step further a little bit later. But in this moment, dude, we don't care. We get it.
We understand it.
Like, you weren't even really involved.
No.
You kind of interjected yourself and then pulled yourself out by way of my girlfriend would cut my dick off. We weren't talking about you.
We're not.
And that, we're talking about whether or not Alex should rebeat. This has nothing to do with you.
Amir, that's what guys like that do when they get in a relationship. They have to remind you, like, oh, yeah, I got a girl now, guys. I got a girl, and she wouldn't be cool with any of this shit. It's like, well, you're still here.
Two episodes in, he's brought his girlfriend up 10 times.
At least. I'm going to start keeping a counter, but regardless,
my bad. We're going to talk to you guys about our friends over at Bubbly and their new product, Bubbly Burst.
The greatest drink ever invented, and that is not hyperbole. I am not a flavored drink guy. You know this about me.
Oh, yeah.
I love Bubbly Burst.
It's incredible. And if you're familiar with Bubbly, it's a little bit different. It's a different take on sparkling water. It's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, and it's got refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles.
Not to mention it's got six different fun flavors, and they taste incredible. I've tasted each one of these. They sent us some of these a couple of weeks ago. I have drank all of them.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed every single flavor. My favorite is cherry lemonade.
Yeah, I'm a peach mango guy.
Oh, I like those too. Those are really, really good. They're so refreshing. Like when the bubbles hit, the flavor hits, it's like, ooh, like I drink them in the morning.
Okay.
I usually drink coffee and then I chug water. Now I have to start my day with a Bubbly Burst.
I love that. I'll sit down, have a little dinner, then grab a Bubbly Burst, sit down and watch my reality TV. It's the best way to do it. The pair is great.
It's a great way to end the evening. I can't like sing its praises enough and people are going to think this is just an ad. I genuinely love this product.
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. And honestly, it's bursting with fruit flavor. There's no added sugar, but there's all smiles.
So do yourselves a favor and get out there and try some Bubbly Burst. You'll thank us later.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
We move on to Decade Night, and we do get to find out from Noelle, and I like getting to know more about our newbies. Noelle was a shy person for a very long time, and sort of found her confidence through dressing up. Now, the only reason I want to reference this is because I resonate with this, because I like to wear stupid shit, as you know. I found a lot of my style and stuff, like my comfortability in myself, was from wearing stupid shit. And then I branched off from that. I was like, oh, okay.
If you weren't a shy guy.
No, but I think where I got it from is that my mom used to like pick me up from school wearing wigs and shit. Just to fuck with me.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So I just honestly wanted an excuse to share that story because Gail would pull up to my elementary school in like a jet black, like, have you seen The Incredibles?
Yeah.
What's her name? Edna?
Yes.
Edna Mode. Yeah, she had that fucking wig, and she would get out of the car with big ass glasses on and a fucking wig and be like, steal, and like wave. So I think that's where I got it from.
That's probably where you got it from.
I just wanted to share that story because, yeah, it makes me laugh. But we get to decade night and we're starting to go through everybody's outfit. Jasmine with the 50s housewife and Amir with the comment like, oh, I didn't think we were supposed to dress up as ourselves. That was funny.
That's funny.
Preston dressing up as Juice.
Perfect.
Fucking amazing.
Yep. Great.
Shame on you, Shanice, for not seeing Juice. It is a fucking Tupac Shakur at his finest. Yeah, great movie. But is Arthur Ashe?
Yep.
Why?
He didn't. I don't think he had the intention of doing that until he sat there that day and he's like, oh yeah, this is what I have.
I wear my tennis whites.
Which is funny because not only did he do that, he threw an outfit together that he thought would work. I mean, yeah, Arthur Ashe, I guess, kind of goes with the 70s because it happened in the 70s. He was good and he won a couple of Grand Slams in the 70s. But that's not, it doesn't exemplify a decade.
No, it certainly doesn't.
And for him to then get mad about it because
we're not winning.
One, understand what the fuck he's doing, and two, appreciating his outfit is crazy.
They didn't know who Arthur Ashe was. It's funny.
I love when he gets so mad about stuff like that. It's crazy.
Because no one else gives a shit.
Yeah.
The funniest part is the tennis emporium or whatever you want to call it. There's a facility towards the city and it's Arthur Ashe tennis facility. My sisters used to play there. But yeah, it's not a decade piece. It's just you're dressing up as a person from the decade. Yeah. That wasn't, I don't think that's what the assignment was, but we start to see where people start to talk a little bit of shit on Shanice and she doesn't know what they're talking about because they say, it's giving working girl, which is a prostitute. And she doesn't put two and two together as they're pretty much making fun of her. But we find out that Bria, who's dressed up as a 2000s girl, was in a rap group called Greater Than, but admittedly has no rhythm, so that didn't work out, which would be tough to rap with no rhythm. And then Amir dresses up as Nick, which I thought Amir should have won because I thought that was the funniest, especially. Do you think he bought that hat or do you think he stole it from Nick?
I think he bought the hat.
I do too.
Yeah.
So he should win.
He should definitely win because he put thought into it.
Yeah, he did. Like there was a lot of effort
between
there.
Like him, Summer and Noel were both the 70s. They did like the flower child thing. That was good. They both dressed up pretty well for
Preston.
That. Preston was great for the 90s.
Yeah.
So between them and obviously Amir gets, the comic pass. The comic pass. So that works. But the rest of them, whatever.
But they start to play a game. This is their first foray into games, I think. They did a couple last year, but I don't think that... What did they do? Like, Truth or Dare or some shit?
Yeah, they did some Truth or Dare stuff last year.
They haven't had a, this is going to end poorly game yet. And so when they started with this one, let's play Spill the Tea. I was like, oh, fuck. This isn't going to end well. And sure enough, it doesn't because they pull who's the worst dressed here. And it wasn't even Summer's card. And Summer goes, ooh, definitely Shanice. And like trails off a little bit, which is interesting because Summer and Shanice are supposed to be really tight.
Yep.
So that was a dig at her. And then she tries to backpedal immediately. And I think we're starting to see who Summer is. And this is a very definitive moment for me. It seems like kind of a whatever. She just was being an asshole. But she seems to think one thing. She'll say it. And then she tries to reel it back in. She's like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that because... Immediately after that, she's like, but we're all like great dressers. We're all great dressers. We just like, who's the worst of the best, right, guys? Right, everybody? Worst of the best. It's like, no, you took a dig at Summer, and now you feel bad because everyone else didn't react the way you wanted them to react, and now you're like, oh, shit. And
they didn't react the way that you wanted them to react because it wasn't your card.
It's not your question.
It's not your turn to go. You're going to play the damn game. You're going to play the damn game. You can't do that. Not only that, but Shanice wasn't even in the room.
No, she's making shots for everybody.
So you don't, if somebody leaves the room and you're playing that, is it reasonable or is it shady?
Pretty much.
That's pretty much what it was. If you're playing that sort of game, at least go after somebody who's in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go after Nick. That would be funny. Nick would freak out. He would have an absolute meltdown. He'd probably go downstairs, bring up all of his outfits, and show you all of them and tell you how much he spent on each item. And that would be really funny to me. That would be a good way to play that. Don't go after somebody who's not in the room who doesn't even understand that you're playing a game at this point.
Right. And it's even worse because Shanice takes offense. She goes upstairs, starts crying in the bathroom.
Soft.
She was a little lit, too, so I think that was part of it. And this is their second season, so look, they're going to have to get some tougher skin. I agree with you, not the best
Shanice
reaction.
She wasn't there for the whole time last year, so maybe we give her a little bit
of a give her a rookie pass. And, she'll toughen up as they go. You got to get thick skin in this game, as we've seen, but that comes with time. It comes with time and practice. You got to be in the game for a little while. But it gets deeper because we find out that Shanice lost her job after relocating to Tampa for her job, and Summer knows that. So it is a weird dig to take, knowing that financially she's not in the best spot, and as she says, like, I can't afford to buy clothes, and Summer knows this and still threw me under the bus. And I think that Alex says it later a little bit where he's like, you know, I hadn't really pegged it before, but there is a slight mean girl energy from Summer, and I'm starting to see it too as we go. And it's like, I think she hides behind this, like, oh, I'm sweet and innocent kind of thing. But when she feels scorned or feels a certain way, she's mean. And I think that we see it with Alex. I think that we see it here with Shanice. And I don't know if she has a chip on her shoulder about Shanice. I don't know if there's more there that we're not finding out. I think the way she's handling Alex and Noelle is bizarre. Like, she just seems to have different agendas than what she's actually putting out there. She's on my radar as a potential villain.
I think we can put her on the radar. I don't think this was that big of a deal to begin with. I think it was just...
I'm reading between the lines.
Yeah, you're definitely reading between the lines. I think if we take it at face value, it's just... I mean, let's be honest. Shanice did have the worst outfit for decades night. She didn't even know what she was doing. So she could have spun it like that and been like, oh, I thought we were just talking about like what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Spin it like that. You know, that's fine. I don't know if it was malicious. It could have just been... I think Summer deep down is a little jealous. Because we find out a little bit later that Shanice has a roster and she's talking to these guys that she says that are really big and they're not 9-to-5ers, which I took offense to.
I was going
to
say, when she said that, I was like, damn, I bet a lot of people are like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. But she, you know, she's talking to a bunch of other guys and that's fine. And Summer's like, how are you talking to these guys? So I think there is a deeper rooted issue here. Maybe a little jealousy amongst friends.
Yeah.
That's possible. And she wanted to knock her down. Now, I mean, Shanice running upstairs and crying is it's a little funny.
She was
very lit. It's a very big overreaction, but it wasn't really that big of a deal. But yeah, I think it's fair to say Summer's on the radar. We'll see if she's mean to anybody else who wants to spurn her, or maybe they have some words for her and she tries to retaliate in a different way. I'll tell you one thing, though. She is messy as hell. She is very good at this. Mm-mm. So we will know right away if she's trying to get some retribution some way, shape, or form moving forward. And it's not going to end up well for her unless she gets her shit together.
Shanice or Summer?
Summer.
Yeah, I think she's messy too, and
you can play the game all you want. It's fun. It works for TV, but if you're not good at it, you're going to screw yourself in the end.
Yeah, but that's great TV. A messy player?
Yeah,
a messy
true.
Player is a lot of fun to watch because they get caught up in bullshit that they're not ready for, and when they get called out, it's like that oh shit moment where you see them trying to just scramble for an answer and they don't have one because they
and nobody's defending them
because they can't.
Yep.
Because they know that they're wrong. So I think that, you know, Summer's playing a very dangerous game this summer. Hey-o. But moving on from there, this is when, you know, the night starts to get a little ramped up. Everyone's having a little fun. Everyone's a little bit lit. So they're starting to dance and shit like that. And this is the scene I was talking about. And I literally wrote down Nick smiling like he's at a strip club for the first time. Because he's literally sitting there, just two asses here and here. And he's just like, and if you're not on YouTube, you're missing out. Because he's just grinning back and forth like a moron. Meanwhile, Amir texts his girlfriend. This is the biggest
red
flag.
What did he text her, though?
So I saw him walk into the room with a Chobani, like, flip yogurt.
Yeah.
And I thought it was weird. I was like, oh, he's just having a snack right now? Like, all right, cool, whatever.
You know, yogurt's not my favorite in the middle of me drinking all day, but
yeah,
sure.
You know, I feel like that yogurt's going to curdle in your stomach with all the booze in there.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. My man eats a Chobani and sits down and texts his girlfriend, what should I eat now? ... Babe. Innocuous. Doesn't seem like a big deal. The response, I wrote down, run, bro. I literally wrote down run because her response is, huh? That's weird. It seems like that was meant for somebody else. Like, oh, God.
And that's the thing with the way that Amir has brought up his girlfriend every time. It's not in a way of like, I'm obsessed with this girl and I'm going to talk to you guys about her. And everything that I see reminds me of her, and I'm just going to talk about her, and you guys have to deal with it, because I'm in love with my girlfriend.
Yeah, that's not it.
It is my girlfriend cut my dick off.
Yeah.
Oh, could you imagine, like, if any of these girls even look at me, she will come up here, she will castrate me, and then she will prance around the house and show everybody what she did.
Yeah.
That's what he said in the first episode.
I know.
So, if he keeps doing this, you're painting a picture of not a loving girlfriend, when Nick talks about Tasia, and Tasia defended him last year, you see that and you're like, all right, you know, I think the two of them are fine. You see this and you're like, dude, what are you doing?
And it's still
and
early.
Then when she calls and goes through all of that, you're like, what the fuck? Like, clearly she feels some type of way. She's very insecure about him being up there with all these girls.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because Amir doesn't strike me as a guy that's like cheating on her or anything.
No, I don't
like
think so at all.
He's afraid to even look at a girl at this point. And she has struck the fear of God in him. And this call was very uneasy.
Very awkward.
Dude, no.
He's like, it just feels kind of accusatory. She's like, it's not accusatory. It's like, it was accusatory.
It was,
very. That's exactly what it was. And now, like...
The guy's eating Chobani Flip right now. What should he eat next?
He's hungry because he's got to go to the gym and get some gains tomorrow, dude. Like, you got to let him know. He's just asking you what to eat.
What do you think
next.
He should eat after that?
After a yogurt and drinking? I don't know. A slice of pizza, you weirdo. Like, who the fuck eats yogurt when you're drunk?
We got to stay on theme if he gets Chobani after drinking.
A granola?
I was going to say a banana or something.
Maybe like a protein bar?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something, fruit, maybe.
Yeah.
Some kind of fruit.
Yeah, give him some sugar or
this
something.
This is the important conversation.
Yeah.
But for me, like, the fact that he had to bring up to her, like... I removed myself from the situation. Like, that's really not my scene, babe. Like, I don't want to be in there, like, looking at that. Meanwhile, then he throws Nick under the bus. He's like,
yeah.
You know, Nick's in there, like, smiling, like, just looking at everybody's butt. I'm like, you don't have to throw him under the bus to make yourself look good. Here's my thing. I respect that he has respect for his relationship. And in that moment where they're all, you know, twerking, having fun, whatever, they're within their right to do that. It's the summer. They're having fun. They're at a house. They're not thinking about it. If you're uncomfortable with that because you think your girl would be uncomfortable with it and you want to get up and go into the other room, go make a phone call, go do whatever, that's fine. I think that's nice and I think it shows respect to your girl. When you have to make a statement about it and call her and let her know that you are holier than thou and you're not going to get caught up with this bullshit, to me, that's simply for one, the camera. And this is where I said building the brand earlier. When you said nobody's doing that, I think Amir is. He's trying to come off as the nicest guy in the house with the utmost respect for women and everybody else, which is fine. But again, if that's you, you don't have to do it this way. I didn't care for the way that he went about it. I didn't care for the fact that regardless of how Nick is acting, it's not his business to throw Nick under the bus to his girlfriend. In that moment, just remove yourself.
I don't think he was throwing Nick under the bus to build his brand. When I said build brands, I meant like...
No, I don't think that was part of building his brand.
What do you mean? That's what you just said.
No. I think I didn't like that part of it. I think he's overall just trying to come off as I don't do anything wrong and I love my girlfriend.
Yeah, that's fine. That's not really what I was talking about. What I was talking about with brands was making yourself more marketable to Bravo and other reality TV
like
shows.
Selling,
literally selling, you know, if you have a workout class at home, selling That's the agenda that I was talking about. But this, I felt like the only reason they threw Nick under the bus was because he was scrambling because his girlfriend was calling him out for something that he didn't do.
Yeah.
And if you're not comfortable just looking, or I guess not looking at her, but talking to her and saying, hey, maybe they were FaceTiming, and saying, hey, no, I grabbed a yogurt and walked away. I wasn't doing anything. I was just literally saying, what should I eat next? And you're going to do all of this. If you can't take me for what I'm telling you right now, then that's really the end of the conversation. You need to figure that out. Not I'm going to throw my friend under the bus to say I'm a better boyfriend than he is. Mm-hmm. He's upstairs looking at butts.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's just, it's an unhealthy relationship there. But I don't think he would have done that if she hadn't, you know, called him out for something that he didn't do and be accusatory.
Yeah. And I think it's even more strange to me that the next morning, while he's standing in the kitchen, he's asking Shanice about her nudes. You can't claim that you're above all this bullshit and like remove yourself from the situation, which again, I have no issue with him removing himself. I think that was the respectful thing to do. I didn't like that he had to like highlight it, but you can't do that. And then the next day, the girl that was twerking in your face, you're asking her about the nudes that she sent to some dude because you're still getting involved. Meanwhile, you're standing next to her shirtless asking about nudes.
You're allowed to laugh at it.
Right.
But then when you start asking specifics.
Yeah.
Like, and you had different nudes and different guys?
Different roster or...
And who'd you send the best nude to?
Yeah. And what did the nudes look like?
Yeah. Paint me a picture.
Please. Mm. Like, that's my point.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword. Like, you can't be both. And I think...
Honestly, you would have imagined it would have been reversed.
Right.
When he was drinking, he would have done things like that. Now you're dead sober in the morning. Ask and you're doing nudes. That.
Right.
Weird.
That's my point. And like...
Priorities.
My whole thing, what it boils down to is I think he's scared of his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I just think
he's definitely scared of his girlfriend. Yeah, the way that he's talked about her, everything is fear-inducing.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound super healthy to me, but, you know, it's not for me to say. But we move on and...
Yes, it is. We have a podcast.
That's a good point.
It is for you to say.
It's a good point. There's something about him that doesn't seem genuine. It seems disingenuous.
I think it's just the girlfriend's thing.
Yeah, and I think so, too. And I think, I don't know, I think he'd be more fun without a girlfriend, but...
Yeah.
It's just all...
I mean, all we're getting from him is very, very polite conversations.
That's it.
Or non-polite conversations, and then throwing his friend under the bus and talking about his girlfriend cutting his dick off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be more fun if he didn't have the girlfriend.
Yeah, I agree. But We get a scene with Jordan, and I thought this was a really cool scene. And we like to highlight this stuff when we see it. She's talking to her dad. She gets a hair deal with a company that makes wigs and extensions and other hair products. And she starts talking about her journey with alopecia. And she said it really got exacerbated. She was doing some kind of ad for a company. They put something in her hair, and it reacted very poorly, and a lot of her hair fell out. Never grew back the same way, and she even went as far to share pictures and show the battle that she's been going through, which I think is amazing because, you know, and I mean this in the most respectful way possible, like Jordan is a beautiful woman, and for her to be able to speak out and say, even I'm battling certain things that are very difficult, I think that's going to resonate with so many women. I think it's going to resonate with so many people that are going through this and that have to deal with alopecia. So I commend her immensely for sharing this battle on TV. Because these are the moments that it transcends reality, where it's transcending reality TV, in which it can actually help people that watch the show. So, kadoos to Jordan. I thought this was a cool scene. We're using that word a lot more.
I know. I know we are.
But moving on from there, I already know which bus you'd be on, but we get the gym versus brunch crew. And first and foremost, I think for the next live show, we both have to dress like Nick. And get whatever the fuck that tarp was that he was wearing.
Yeah. Like, I think we can pull it off, but...
You do?
Yeah, dude, for sure. Us?
Tarp bros?
Us?
That
hell
was
yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, the
boys
can pull that tarp
off. He looked
like
a trash bag.
Yeah.
A red trash bag.
It was raining.
So what?
I don't know.
Wear a rain jacket.
Nick's fucking hilarious. Everything he does is very funny to me, so I don't care.
You know why it's funny? Because he doesn't see the irony in it.
No, he's taking everything very seriously.
Dead serious. Yeah. Like, he goes to the gym and, like, people are laughing at his thing. In his head, he's like, you guys just don't get fashion.
Yeah.
Like, I look fantastic, and
you
guys don't
understand it.
No, he looks like all of those Instagram ads that I get flooded with for athletic wear, where you see the guy and you're like, nobody would ever wear that.
Yep.
Nick wears it.
Nick's the model in the picture.
Quite possibly, but on the way to brunch, we have Jordan, Preston, and Summer, and they're talking about Nick getting too handsy and a little too flirty when he's drunk. And they, which I appreciate, do highlight the fact that, look, it's not creepy. It hasn't reached the level where we're uncomfortable necessarily, as far as, like, we don't feel like he's being a sleazeball about it. To them, and this is why I love this cast, is they're able to think about things on a deeper level, like, emotionally. Because they're like, to me, this just screams that he doesn't want to be in a relationship with Tasia. And at the same time, we don't want to be in a position where Tasia feels like we're a party to disrespect.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they can take it to a level and discuss it rather than just, you know, eviscerate Nick, which they have every right to if they felt a certain way. But they take it a step further and they're talking, like, is he even happy with her? Like, do we even know how Tasia feels about all of this? So the one thing that they highlight, which is important, is this is similar to last season with Nick. And, you know, he was talking about Jordan and his confessionals, and we had some weird scenes there. But again, and we referenced it already, when Tasia came to the house, they brought it up.
Yeah.
Tasia had no issues and didn't question Nick at all.
Yep.
So I don't know what their relationship is.
I don't really know where to land. I don't know where their relationship is. I don't know, you know, what she's seen or what's gone on. But she was able to watch last season and still be with him and not have any issues. So I don't know. Every relationship's obviously a little different. I will say, I mean, the way that this cast does this type of breakdown or this type of, you know, trying to diffuse situations, they do it so much better than everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else just, and look, I you know, from a TV standpoint, the other end of the spectrum is a lot more fun to watch sometimes.
Sure.
Where they just blow off and one person just goes, and you can see it in Summer House a little bit later when we do our recap there. People will just call another person out in front of the crew and make it very awkward and make them answer for it right then and there.
We'll literally see that later, yeah.
Yes, and then it gets very awkward and then, you know, fireworks transpire and it's great. The way that they break it down, they try to see it from every angle and then they figure out how to approach it. And they say, all right, who feels weird about this? Why do you feel weird about it? What do we do about Nick? I don't know if you need to go as far as to say, like, oh, I don't think he's happy in his relationship because of the way that, like, he's flirting with other girls. He might just be doing that. I don't know if you have to bring the happiness of the relationship into question, but when Tasia comes and she defends him the whole time, I think that kind of puts it to bed. If you just address it with Nick, it'll probably stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the best course of action. Now we see a little bit later, obviously, Nick kind of takes it into his own hands when people are talking about it. So I just appreciate the way that they come at a different level rather than, you know, just kind of blowing it all up, and they're able to discuss it and, you know, kind of come to a solution.
Yeah, I agree with that. But while they're at brunch, they are discussing like the Shanice thing, and we get a quick cut over to the gym, and, you know, Shanice feels like she was bullied by Summer. That's when we find out where she's like, you know, I think Summer's just jealous of me because I talked about my roster last year in Jamaica, and she acted weird about it. Like, how do you talk to these guys? But flip over to Summer when she's talking to Preston and Jasmine. She's blaming Shanice for not bringing it up to her that she was upset about certain things. Like, you can't do that. You can't be a dick and then blame the person that you were a dick to for not bringing it to your attention.
Yeah, and I also don't understand it. When did you want her to do that?
I don't know.
You called her out in front of a whole group and said that she's the worst dresser. She got upset and walked away. You didn't go after her.
Nope.
You didn't go upstairs and try to have a one-on-one conversation to find out why she felt that way. So then to turn it around and say she needs to talk to you about what she's uncomfortable about?
No.
I don't really get it. I think that Summer has no idea what she did wrong, and she's just grasping at straws.
I do too, and I think that you see more of that, and that's what I said earlier, is like, I don't think that she plays the game, or you said it earlier, like, she's sloppy.
Yeah.
She's very sloppy, because now they start getting into the Alex stuff, like, well, how was sex with Alex? And she's like, oh, don't ask. Like, pretty much saying it was terrible. Saying that he's a good kisser and a good cuddler. Flashback to last year, she's talking about love and love making, and she wants to cuddle and wants it to be soft. Flash to this season, and it's the opposite. This is just a woman scorned that is now trying to put Alex and make it seem like she didn't give a shit and it was all casual and like she wasn't looking for more. And I think maybe she's trying to save face, which I can appreciate that a little bit. She doesn't want to be embarrassed by Alex on TV. Okay, I get that. But at the same time, it's like, last episode, one day ago, this was a very different narrative. You said to Alex's face, after you're inside somebody, because we have to reference that every time, there's a certain level of love there. That's a very different story than not. He said it was casual. I knew it was casual. I didn't expect anything out of it. He didn't expect anything out of it. There was no expectations.
Yeah.
That's not what happened.
And just the way that Alex operates, we're never going to get anything out of him.
No, because it flashes to him. He's like, I'm not going to.
Unless he's straight up defending himself because somebody said something about him, he's not going to go into it. We get Summer in a confessional. We get Summer when she's talking to other people. Her story has changed 4 or 5 different times because she's the one who's talking about it. And she's the one who's actually answering questions. You go to Alex and it's like, I'm not going to talk about that.
Nope.
I'm going to keep a very tight lid on that. I'm not going to discuss any of that. And all he talks about is the picture. So I think there's probably a little bit more here. There's more to the story. There's more to both ends of it. Summer's not doing a very good job articulating exactly what that is. And by very good job, I mean no job at all.
Nope.
She's not doing anything. And Alex isn't giving us any information. So we have nothing to go off of. But looking at it right now, Alex looks like the one who was not scorned. He looks like someone who, yeah, we can break it down and say maybe he let her on or did this and that and whatever. Summer's immediately out the door when she starts talking about how she knows that he only wanted something casual. So you're not doing yourself any favors, and you continue to talk about it, which is making it even more confusing for us. So I don't know what the fuck's going on here. I don't think we're ever going to know what the hell's going on here. I kind of just want to move on.
I think she fell in love with Alex and Alex wasn't in love with her, and now she's trying to backpedal to save face.
I think probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're not going to get anything, producers, if you're listening, can we just move on?
Well, it's too late. It's already been filmed.
Yeah, I know, but you can edit it.
They've already edited it.
If they're listening, edit it again. Push it back a week. I don't give a shit. Just get rid of it all. I don't care anymore because we're not going to get anything from it.
Well, we do get one thing from it, and that's, you know, Noelle and Summer have been friends, and Noelle coming into the summer said to Summer, that's going to get confusing, that she had, you know, not a thing, but she was attracted to Alex, that she would be into seeing where something would go with Alex. And Summer's response was, we just hung out. We hung out in LA. We hung out in New York. That was it. It was just a hangout. Noelle's upset because she feels lied to, which she was lied to.
Yeah.
Because if you're tight with somebody and you want to go after a dude, at the very least, you can say in your words, he was inside me. That at least like paints a picture so that Noelle doesn't go in like blindsided. And at the same time, this will 100% cause an issue. There's no fucking way the way that Summer has handled the first 2 days of being in this house that she's not going to feel a type of way if Noelle ends up hooking up with Alex. And
yeah.
I do think we're going to see that.
I don't think we're going to see that.
Oh, no?
I don't think they're going to hook up now.
Why?
Just based off of clips from the future.
Okay.
But it seems like Noelle kind of pushes towards him, maybe has a conversation. I don't think Alex is going to do it. Alex, for everything that he is, he's not that messy.
He doesn't like to be messy because he likes to keep his side of the street.
Yeah, private. I think it's going to be more of an issue when maybe he's flirting a little bit with Noelle and then he hooks up outside of the group and then all of a sudden it's a big issue and then Summer gets brought back into it. But I don't know how the hell Noelle missed that. She was sitting right across the table. That was the big moment of the dinner from the first night. And you were cracking some crab legs, I guess, and you just completely missed it. And it was genuine, too, because they go back and I was like, oh, yeah, she kind of reacted to it. Maybe she just didn't want to say anything. And she was dumbfounded when she brought it up at the gym.
Yep.
She had no idea what the hell was going on. And that was really funny, too. I would have liked it a little bit more if she had reacted then that first night and then went after Summer for lying to her. And brought everybody in, and then everybody's like, what the fuck's going on here?
In a perfect world, yeah.
In a perfect world, that would have been great. But Noelle wasn't paying attention.
No, but the last scene is the dudes hanging out in the dude cave, and this is the first time that you see a little bit of a crack in the armor for Amir. Because he's like, look, I'm in a weird spot, because I want to be able to engage with my friends, but if I told her, her being Natalia's girlfriend, she would kill me.
Yep.
More or less. I think she said strangle him or some kind of physical.
Another. Abuse. Yeah.
Something not good. And Nick, fucking Nick, he's like, just do what I do. Just sit there. And every guy in the room laughs. Like, that's what you think you do? And Nick actually seems taken aback where he's like, whoa, whoa, what? Like, what do you mean? And Preston starts
he
talking.
He doesn't realize that he's doing it. Yeah.
He doesn't at all. And I actually believe that. And you know, Preston lets him down lightly. He goes, it's not sleazy, but it could definitely be interpreted as flirty. And he takes it a step further and says, you know, you're probably going to have a discussion with both Jordan and Summer. I think they're both going to say something to you. So he gives him a heads up. And Nick's like perplexed. That his words in his confession. He's like, I'm perplexed. Like, I never thought that I went too far. And, you know, I hang out with him all the time. So I actually do appreciate the fact that he just tackles it head on and goes straight upstairs and knocks on Summer's door to just ask her, like, straight up. Because not a lot of guys would do that, I don't think.
No.
That was actually a good move on his part. And you can tell he's actually uncomfortable. He's, like, doing, like, circles in Summer's room. He's like, I'm just gonna ask.
Yeah, he's distraught.
Yeah, I think he's really upset about this. And, you know, I don't really have a lot of sympathy because you're the one doing it. But the fact that you can at least face it and hopefully rectify the situation does speak volumes if that's what you're going to do. But he asked Summer, like, flat out. He's like, do I make you uncomfortable? And she says, you do get handsy. And then end the episode. So yeah. I'm curious to see how that conversation goes. Again, the vibe that we saw in the car with Jordan and Summer both when they were with Preston, it's not that they're, like, appalled at Nick. They're not grossed out by Nick. They're not, like, get the fuck away from me. But it is something that needs to be addressed. So hopefully this is a learning moment for Nick, because Nick's funny. Like, he's a good character on this show. He's a good cast member. So I hope that it doesn't go south.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't impact the way that he is in the house, aside from obviously being handsy. You can drop that.
Yeah.
You get rid of that and you do everything else that you've been doing, you're great. You're fine.
Yeah. And, like,
not even, honestly, even sitting on the couch and just looking at butts while they're twerking in front of you, that's still funny. It was a really funny moment. So
it was
a
funny scene.
I don't want him to be like, oh, all the girls are in that room, I got to be over here with the boys. Like, don't start doing that shit. Don't overcorrect. But, you know, stop touching people.
Stop touching people. Oh, you know what? Follow their lead. Whatever they tell you, just take it to heart and apply it. So if they say don't do X, Y, and Z, don't fucking do X, Y, and Z, but go about and have a good summer. But it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. But all in all, like, what this episode did for me, I've got a lot of question marks, like, good question marks. I'm just like, ooh, I'm curious where this is going to go. I'm curious where that's going to go.
I can't wait till Amir's girlfriend comes up.
I'm so excited.
That's the best part, I think. And they're going to get into, it looks like, next week or the week after, bringing other people into the house. So some people who were there, you know, popped by last year, some people that they might know back from the city. And then obviously you have to throw in the girlfriends, and you've got the boyfriend coming from Germany at the end of the year or the end of the week.
I think Preston's boyfriend is coming
next
week.
Preston's boyfriend's coming. So you got to start worrying about, and you don't have Silas this year.
Thank God.
We don't have Silas to put all this together. God forbid the schedules fucking overlap.
Schedule's fucked.
Schedule's absolutely fucked. Actually, let's FaceTime him right now and we'll figure out who can come when. That's what they should be doing. Jasmine, get him on the horn. That's what we're going to start doing.
Call a CO.
But that's when it gets messy, is you're going to have all these people up here. Like, Amir's girlfriend's going to come up and she is going to be so standoffish and she is going to sit there with a knife in her hand staring at Amir while he's talking to anyone.
She's going
to
have his balls in her hand.
Yeah,
just
she's
like,
going to walk around. She's going to tie a little string around it and walk him around the house. Like, that's what we're going to see from that. Preston's boyfriend seems awesome. I think he's going to fit in with the group really well. obviously, we already know what What's-His-Face brings to the
Simon.
Simon brings
I'm
to the
so
table.
I'm so fucking excited.
That's
going to
be electric because he's going to do the same shit that he did last year.
I'm just here to have fun.
And
fuck
be
your
unapologetic.
Dog.
Unapologetic, yeah. And Bree is going to go cry in a corner and he's not going to care. And that's going to be great. So once you start bringing other people in the house, that's when it gets really messy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already, you know,
they're teetering.
Teetering as it is. You throw in another person. God forbid you throw in a single girl. And Alex starts perking his ears up like, what's going on here? It's going to get great. So I'm excited for the rest of the season. I've been excited the whole season. And I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you haven't watched, because a few of you have commented, haven't watched yet, listening to the recaps, love the recaps, go watch. I'm telling you, this is a good show. And we do not want a Real Girlfriends in Paris scenario here, which maybe that's coming back. We don't know what happened with that show.
We have no idea what's going on.
But that was a good show. And it's now off the air, potentially. Don't let Martha's Vineyard die. It is a great fucking show. So get out there and get out there. Yeah, go outside and watch if it's on your phone. Just watch the damn show. Now let's do some questions. Shooter's still the question master as my iPad is still hopefully at the Philadelphia airport.
Hopefully. We'll find out eventually. First up, we've got from Exactly with Zach in the middle. Good name. Why is Jordan acting quote unquote better than rather than just talking to Jasmine?
I think that she's scorned from last year, and Jordan strikes me as a person that once she feels a certain way, like she pushes away. I don't think that it's better than. I think she creates a very large gap between people that she's not vibing with, and getting back over that hump is not an easy process for her, whether that's because of past experiences or something, I don't know. I don't get the vibe that it's better than. I got more of the vibe that when she doesn't fuck with you, it takes a lot to get back in her good graces.
Yeah, I think so too, and obviously I like this Jasmine way better than last season, and the Silas of it all helps a lot. But Jasmine on her own was really annoying last year, too. I even take out the screaming sex that she was having. She was just kind of annoying, and she was always making excuses for Silas. This year, she's kind of just pushed into the back.
Yeah.
She's back there with, like, Bria, I would say, where it's like, yeah, you're not doing a whole lot here, but you're still showing up and having some conversations. If we don't push this too much, I'm better with that than I was last year. I don't think, and I agree, I don't think that she's doing this whole better than bullshit. I think that she just sees Jasmine for who she is. And we talked about it last week. Jasmine is not addressing the elephant in the room.
She needs to take accountability.
She is way different with Silas and versus without him. She was way different before him. So address that and you'll probably come back into Jordan's good graces. Until you do that, she doesn't really have to have the time for you. JD Casey 2026. What's going to happen in 2026?
What?
I don't know. It's the username.
That's the question?
No. No, I'm asking.
I don't fucking know.
I don't know. Whatever.
That's the question. What are you doing?
I got stuck. Do you think this show will have a great sophomore season, just like Soho?
I think that this show is comparable, if not arguably better than Soho.
I don't know. I mean, Soho had such a great second season.
It did. It had a great second.
Now it's slightly better than Martha's Vineyard, I would say, but I think that we are primed for a really good season for
this. I do too. I'll go with the Martha's Vineyard approach. It's the worst of the best.
There we go.
Yeah, I think that they're geared up for a phenomenal season. Yeah, I really do.
All right. From Sarah Juliana, do you think producers were relieved that Silas was called overseas?
Yes, I think it saved the show. I think another run through with Silas would have been disastrous.
Like, yeah.
He was good for season one because he didn't know anybody yet, and it was just a different aspect to the show. But continued Silas would have been a fucking nightmare. So, yeah, I'm sure they're thrilled.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very ecstatic about that. Two more here. One from Lance DeVore. Did Alex seem embarrassed by his hookup with Summer?
I don't know if he's embarrassed because it was Summer. I just don't think he likes other potential hookups to know about his hookups.
Yeah, I don't think he likes dipping his pen in the company ink, if you will. Yeah. Like, that's his own doing, though. You don't hook up with somebody that you're on the show with.
Oh, like the shit where you eat thing. Yeah, I mean, I get it, but like, yeah, I think two things can be true, yeah. I think the biggest part is, like, he's a fuckboy, and fuckboys tend to not like their dirty laundry out there.
Yeah, fair. Last one here from L. Rains. This is more of a general question. How do you guys manage watching all the Bravo shows and sports?
We're tired all the time.
Tired all the time.
Literally all the time. You don't know how much we sacrifice to talk to you every week, and we wouldn't change it for the goddamn world.
We certainly would not, but also we try to keep most of the sports on weekends.
Yeah, and but we are seepy boys.
Very seepy. that's all I got. You got anything?
I don't like when you do that. I don't like that.
You do have something.
I do, because we forget to plug things when we're supposed to, but we got our live show coming up May 3rd. It is just over a month away, so make sure you go get those tickets. It's at Union Stage. It's a Friday night. We have Chris Bassett coming out. We have Candace Dillard coming out. We are being joined by the one and only Ryan Bailey from So Bad It's Good. So make sure you go get those tickets. It's a big venue. We sold a bunch of tickets when we announced our guests, so we want to keep that train rolling. If you haven't bought your tickets yet, if you're in the DC area or any of the states around it, come and hang out with us. It's going to be a great time. Ask anybody. We have fun live shows.
Ask anybody.
Ask anybody.
Go to the grocery store. Ask the clerk.
Ask them.
They'll know.
Do the Brav Bros have a great show? They're going to be, oh, man, I don't watch Bravo, but fuck yeah, they do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, brother. You got anything else?
Nope.
Brav Bros at her.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.